Today's topic is dishwashers in the kosher kitchen and dishwashers in Starbucks. I'll explain the second half of the issue shortly. We'll begin with some of Moshe's tshuvas from quite a few decades ago with regard to dishwashers. Moshe in Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Dalet, a tshuva he wrote in 1956, writes about the Kli HaChadasha, this new utensil, this new appliance, Shenikra dishwasher, that is called a dishwasher. And Ramosha says very simply, without much explanation, that you would be permitted, in his opinion, to use the same dishwasher for milchiks, and then to use it afterwards for fleishiks, provided you had different racks for the milchik dishes load and for the fleishik dishes load. That's all Ramosha writes in his first, earliest tshuva. Doesn't say why, it just says, as long as you have different racks, you can do milchiks in one load, fleishiks in different load in the same dishwasher. In a later tshuva that he writes in Yeradea, Chelek Beis, Simen Chaf Ches, 1964, he was asked to elaborate. So he explained, why would you be allowed to use the same dishwasher for a milchik load and then later for a fleishik load? So Moshe writes, the reason is because it is a concept known as no sein ta'am bar no sein ta'am, or in halachic abbreviation, not bar not, which is permissible with regard to milchiks and then fleishiks. What is not bar not? So a brief background introduction. We all know that Gemara and Chulin tells us that a pot that was used to cook fleishiks cannot be used to cook milchiks. Why not? You're not cooking the fleishik and milchik together. Why can't I use a fleishik pot to cook a milchik dish in sometime later? So the obvious explanation given is that when I first take a pot and I cook meat in that pot, the meat is, in the halakhic terminology, no sein ta'am, it transfers taste into the walls of the pot. The pot now has absorbed in it a belia, an absorption of taste from the meat. If I am now to take this now fleishik pot and use it later to cook milchiks in, we assume that the pot is now no sein ta'am. It is now going to transfer some of that absorbed fleishik taste from the walls of the pot into the milk that I'm cooking in the pot now. And when you have that transfer of taste, that nesinas ta'am of basar that was absorbed in the walls of the pot, which is now being transferred into the milk currently being cooked in the pot, that transfer of taste creates basa b'chalav, creates trace, hence I cannot cook milk in a fleishik pot. That's the basic underlying assumption of an esinas tam, which is why you cannot cook milchiks in a fleishik pot or vice versa. However, the same Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph from the Beis says, what happens if I don't directly cook milchiks in a fleishik pot or fleishiks in a milchik pot? What happens if, in the words of the Gemara, dogim sha'alu b'ka'ara, I take hot par of food, such as fish, and I put it on a fleishik plate. So what's the halachic process here? The plate was at one point boleya. It was at one point used for hot fleishiks. There was a transfer of tam, an esinas tam, from the meat into the plate. Now when I have the hot par of fish on this plate, there's a second transfer of tam, a second transfer of taste from the plate, which transfers absorbed meat taste from within it to the power of food. And now the Gemara says you're allowed to take that power of fish and eat it with milchiks. Why? Because since there are two taste transfers of meat to plate to fish, and so far no basa b'chalav has been created, everything is still halakhically permissible. Now you want to take the power of fish and mix that with milk. Oh, on your third taste transfer, you're going to have some fusion of basa b'chalav. That's too far removed from the original source of the meat taste. That's not a problem. So in the words of halacha, that is not bar not. Nesinas tam, bar nesinas tam. Literally speaking, a taste transfer, son of a taste transfer. You had a transfer of taste from meat to plate to fish. That's two transfers of ta'am that are totally permissible. Now you want to mix that fish with milchiks, that you can do, says the Gemara. Now, it is on the basis of this concept of not bar not, of two trace taste transfers, beheter, known as not bar not dehetera, that the Rama tells us in Simen Sadihe, Sif Beis. Rama says, this, by the way, is one of those simanim that you constantly find people asking questions about because it's one of those very, very relevant issues. I cooked parv in X, can I use it with Y, etc. The Rama says the following. What happens if somebody roasts or fries or bakes fish, para food, in a fleshik pan? The Rama says if you baked or roasted or fried para fish in a fleshik pan, you are allowed, l'chatchila, to then take that para fish and put it into a milchik plate, into a milchik pot. Because it's not banat. You had one taste transfer of meat to pan, pan to fish, everything is still kosher. Now you want to take the fish and put it into a milchik pan, a milchik pot, a milchik plate, no problem at all. Rama in Simen Sadihei Sif Gimel extends that one step further, and this is what brings us closer to our question as well. Rama says, and so too, if you want to wash fleshik dishes, says Rama, in a large pot, you take your fleshik dishes out, and now you want to wash milchik dishes in that same large pot with hot water, obviously. No problem at all, says the Rama. No problem. Why? When I wash my fleshik dishes in this large hot pot of water, so the meat that had been no same time into the dishes is now no same time a second time into the water. That's a second nisinas tam of heter. Now I want to put milchik dishes into that water, the water is not going to now prohibit the milchik dishes anymore. Because on that basis, that Moshe writes, the same can be applied to dishwashers as well. You basically want to wash fleshik dishes in a dishwasher. What's going to happen? The hot water is going to absorb taste from the meat in your fleshik dishes and then transfer taste into the walls of the dishwasher. That's one taste transfer of meat to dish, dish to water, water to dishwasher. Now you want to wash your milk dishes in the same dishwasher. It's so far removed from the original meat source, not a problem. Okay. So Rav Moshe says, but racks, he says, you should use different racks because he's worried that there might be some little food particles left on the racks themselves and the dishes might come into direct contact with the food particles. That would be more problematic. So he suggests using different racks. Now, there are other poskim who veer from Rav Moshe's psak in either direction. So, for example, Yitzchak Abadi Shlita in his Shalos and Shuvos or Yitzchak Chelik Beis Yerodeh Simen Ches, right? Now, he thinks you can use the same dishwasher for fleshik dishes and then for milchik dishes, even with the same racks. Why? He says the dishwasher is supposed to wash the food off the dishes, right? So then why are you assuming that there's going to be food left on the racks? And even if there is, he says, it's such an insignificant amount that it's going to be batel b'shishim in the amount of water that's being used in the dishwash cycle. So he allows you to use the same dishwasher for milchik load of dishes and then for fleshik load of dishes, even with the same racks. That's a little bit more lenient than Moshe's psak. On the other hand, you have both Rav Feivel Cohen and his Bari HaShulchan and Simen Sadihei, and Rabbi Forst in his Hilchos Kashrus book, who raised the following issue, which seems to be more stringent than Rav Moshe's psak. They write that they're worried about the filter at the bottom of the site of the dishwasher. The filter at the bottom of the dishwasher catches all the actual food that's washed off the dishes and sits there. And even if they argue that Moshe is correct, that the taste that's transferred from the water or through the water from the dishes to the walls of the dishwasher is no same time, bar no same time, it's not a problem, but you have actual food particles sitting at the bottom of the dishwasher stuck in that filter for who knows how long, and that's going to be a mix right then and there of milchik food and fleshik food, and then you're going to heat up water. That is the basic discussion of the dishwasher for milchik and for fleshik. However, Rav Moshe then writes in a tshuva, Yeradei Chelik Beis, Simen Chav Tes, among other places, he says, this is all true with regard to milchik and then fleshik. Why? Because if you're using, let's say, milchik dishes first, then you can apply this logic of the Gemara that there were two transfers of taste before any Isser was created. Milk to dishes, dishes to water, water to walls of dishwasher, everything is still fine. Now you want to put in milk to dishes, go right ahead. Thus says Moshe, what happens if you use a dishwasher for trace, or not you, but let's say the person who owned the house before you did use the dishwasher for trace. Now what's going to happen? If they use the dishwasher for trace, the food that was cooked in these pots was trace to begin with. The transfer of taste that went into the pots when they cooked with the food was trace from the very start. Well, if there's an Isser taste transfer from food to pot, pot to water, pot to water, water to walls of dishwasher, if that taste that's being thrown around, so to speak, and transferred from food to pot to water to walls was Isser from the very, very beginning, that the Gemara does not say is mutter. Correct, precisely. The Gemara only allows not bar not de hetera. Why? Because the assumption is if there are so many taste transfers and everything's still mutter, by the time there's a fusion of milk and meat, it's so far removed from the original meat and the original milk that it's not able to become usher. But if the taste transfer was usher from the very start, it was ham into the pot, into the walls, into the water, into the walls, so that taste transfer was usher from the very, very beginning, stays usher throughout the transfer of taste process. And if Rav Moshe says, if you have a dishwasher which you use for trace kalim, you have to kosher it first. He says, if the dishwasher is made out of porcelain, you can kosher it. It's made out of metal, you could kosher it. How to kosher it is a separate discussion. But one thing is for sure, if it was used for trace dishes, trace food, there's no heter of not by not, the hetera that he applies with regard to milchiks and pleshiks of kosher. Hold on, getting there, very good, very getting there. All this brings us to Starbucks. Recently, the Chicago Biblical Council raised concerns that Starbucks now, which sells trace sandwiches along with their coffee and pastries, if you are going to be buying drinks in Starbucks, you should be concerned of the following. They sell their trace sandwiches that they heat up before they serve it to their customers. Then they take those dishes that were used for trace sandwiches and wash them in the dishwasher together with their equipment used for coffee. Now you have a problem. You have trace Starbucks dishes being washed in a dishwasher together with the brew baskets used to brew your coffee. They're concerned. What's going to happen now? Especially since Rav Moshe said very clearly that when you have a dishwasher used for trace dishes, you don't rely on this hefter of not by not. So maybe I should be concerned now that when they wash their trace sandwich plates in the dishwasher with hot water together with my up to now kosher brew basket for my coffee, now my brew basket is going to become trace. What do you do now? So I will share with you what I heard secondhand was Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita's initial reaction. I haven't spoken to him directly, but this is what I was told he had said, which is the following, getting back to your point, Jay, which is this. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Sarihei Sif Dalid writes that if when you are washing in hot water dishes, such as milchik dishes and fleishik dishes, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you put ashes into the hot water to wash the dishes, and they use the ashes, I guess, as a cleansing agent, correct? Then the Shulchan Aruch says everything is permissible. Even if there's even some food at the end, some grease, some actual food particles in the water, all mutter, says the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because the ashes are no sin tam lufgam. The ashes, which taste terrible, basically they corrupt the taste of the food that is in the water. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that the only time trace is forbidden is if it's edible for human consumption. If trace food is not edible for human consumption, based on the pasuk by Nevela, to give a Nevela to a ger tosha, the Gemara says if it's not edible for a ger, it's permissible. So whenever something is no sin tam lufgam, it's not edible, it's not forbidden as far as kashrus is concerned. So based on that Shulchan Aruch, Yitzchak Abadi in his Shas and Shuvas Or Yitzchak says, well, in dishwashers, when you put soap into the dishwashing cycle, that's the same as the afer, same as the ashes. It should be pogim. It should corrupt the taste of whatever is in the dishwasher. So it never asked the dishwasher. It never asked the water. It never asked the kosher dishes. It was all pogum, all corrupted by the soap that you put in. And he goes so far as to say that, according to this, even if you have a dishwasher used for treif, you can then use it later on for kosher, because he's assuming that the soap put into the dishwashing cycle corrupts the taste of the treif food before it can transfer any taste into the water, into the dishwashing walls. Correct. That's his assumption, right? He says the same would apply to chametz dishwashers. Now, granted, this is not the minhag of most poskim, but that is his sock based on this Shulchan Aruch. So if Shechter suggested, based on the Shulchan Aruch as well, that perhaps there's what to rely upon with regard to Starbucks also, that even though they put the same, they put the kosher brew basket with the treif sandwich dishes in the same dishwashing cycle, but since they put soap, assuming they put soap in, now that's, I'm saying as an assumption, has to be clarified, but assuming they put soap into the cycle, it would seem from this sock in the Shulchan Aruch that everything in there is pogum, the taste of treif from the sandwich dishes never had the ability to prohibit or to transfer treif taste into the kosher brew basket because it became pogum, it became deteriorated and corrupted before it was able to transfer any taste. Shechter pointed out that there is a chazanish in Or HaChaim, Hilchos Pesach, Siman Kuf Chof Beis, Sitkot and Vav, who only accepts, let me rephrase that, who assumes that the Shulchan Aruch Heter is only in a scenario where the Dover HaPogem, where the ashes, or where the soap, is put into a cycle that is actually a process of Hagala, of actually koshering something. When you kosher something with soap, or with ashes, or with the Dover HaPogem, that's when the Chazanish says, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that everything becomes permissible. But if that's the case, in Starbucks, where they run a dishwashing cycle, which might not be as burning hot as water needs to be for kashering, kashering is often done at boiling, at 212, not at 130. So there would be concern, according to the Chazanish, that even if soap is put into the dishwashing cycle, it's not hot enough to be a kashering cycle. And the Chazanish then would say that the Shulchan Aruch would not permit the Dover HaPogem, the soap, to have that cleansing effect or deteriorating effect on the dishwasher and on the taste of the food in the dishes that were treif. So I was told that Rav Shechter said that certainly according to the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, there is what to rely upon, leheter, not to be concerned, but that there is definitely makom lahachmer on the basis of this Chazon Ish to be concerned that maybe there is a problem when the treif and kosher dishes are washed in the same dishwashing cycle. Then the question becomes, even if that is correct, that there is a problem according to the Chazanish, is it still a problem to then drink from the coffee that is brewed in this brew basket? That's a separate discussion. But at least for today, the very basic bottom line is that according to the simple pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, which Rav Shechter apparently said was what Kasher's agencies assumed for many, many years, is the pshat and is the psak. According to the simple psak of the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem because there's soap in the cycle. Everything is pogum, doesn't transfer any taste, doesn't offer any brew baskets. According to the Chazanish, there's makom lahachmer to ask the next question, you know, if the taste transfer in the dishwasher is a problem, now am I allowed to drink the coffee from the brew basket or not? That would be a separate discussion, and I think there's still a discussion that's underway as we speak.